President mocks Kavanaugh accuser.
How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember.
Bright light on Trump financial empire.
What the Times calls dubious tax schemes.
FEMA tests presidential alert.
It'll arrive on your phone whether you like it or not.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Zoom Video Conferencing.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. A new line of attack from President Trump has raised the temperature as the FBI looks into sexual misconduct allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. CBS's Major Garrett says the president unleashed it at a Mississippi rally.
How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
For the first time, President Trump openly mocked Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her in high school. The president, who previously described Ford's testimony as credible and compelling, ridiculed her story's missing details.
What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember. And a man's life is in tatters. A man's life is shattered.
Ford's lawyer, Michael Bromwich, tweeted Mr. Trump had engaged in a vicious, vile, and soulless attack, adding the president was a profile in cowardice.
There are new questions today about Donald Trump's finances.
I got a very, very small loan from my father many years ago. I built that into a massive empire, and I paid my father back that loan.
A New York Times investigation raises issues about that past characterization, and CBS's Paula Reed says it alleges much more.
The Times found that he received at least $60 million in loans from his father, which he did not pay back in full. And much of his wealth was acquired by participating in what the Times calls dubious tax schemes. Among them, Mr. Trump and his siblings set up a sham corporation to disguise gifts from their parents and helped his father take improper tax deductions and help formulate a strategy to undervalue his parents' real estate holdings. In all, the Times estimates those maneuvers helped the Trump family avoid paying at least $550 million in gift and inheritance taxes.
The White House calls the story a misleading attack and demands an apology. The Secret Service says a suspicious envelope sent to President Trump is being investigated. It never made it to the White House. And correspondent Cammie McCormick says the news came right after the Pentagon said two envelopes suspected of containing a poison, ricin, are now undergoing further tests.
The envelopes were addressed to Defense Secretary James Mattis and Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson. They triggered alarms as they were undergoing security screening at a mail processing center. The center is on the grounds of the Pentagon, but not in the building itself. The FBI is now analyzing them, and all mail received at the Pentagon screening facility is now under quarantine.
The UN's highest court has ordered the U.S. to lift certain sanctions on Iran. It affects humanitarian goods and products that are tied to civil aviation safety. The U.S. is expected to challenge the ruling. In just over 6 hours, FEMA will test what's called a presidential alert. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
We've had regional alerts sent to cell phones for years, but this will be the first nationwide alert from the White House, says FEMA's Antoine Johnson.
If we have something that's of national significance, we could rapidly notify the American public of that event.
Former Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson says the system must not be abused.
It should be reserved for true situations, true emergencies, when we need to get the public's attention.
But who decides what's an emergency? Will all of America be getting regular, real Donald Trump tweets?
No, not at all.
FEMA's Antoine Johnson again.
There are laws, policies, and procedures that are in place, other protocols to ensure that the system is used in accordance with its intended use as defined by the law.
He's confident the president's been fully briefed on that, Steve.
The death toll after the earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia now tops 1,400. Correspondent Ben Tracy is in an area that saw the worst of it.
Where the tsunami's nearly 20-foot high wall of water hit Palu, barely anything is left standing. The water also destroyed something that can never be rebuilt. Aldiani lost five of her family members, including her father and mother.
I lost my family. I very, very love him.
The search for the dead continues, both with big machines and bare hands. Aid is not arriving fast enough, and basic supplies are quickly running out. The sheer scale of this disaster seems more overwhelming as the days go by.
Here at home, what's left of Tropical Storm Rosa drenched parts of Arizona and Utah. This woman bailed out of her flooded car in Phoenix.
I had a panic moment, just like the water was coming in the car, and like you just don't know what to do.
Utah's governor deployed the National Guard to help. Strong storms caused flash flooding in parts of the east. An apparent tornado hit a nursing home in northwest Pennsylvania, causing damage, but nobody was seriously hurt. 14 months after the deadly racially charged violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, four members of a California white supremacist group have been charged with going there to incite riots and attacks on counter-protesters. U.S. Attorney Thomas Cullen called them serial rioters.
This wasn't, in our view, the lawful exercise of First Amendment rights. These guys came to Charlottesville in order to commit violent acts, and it wasn't the first time they'd done it.
He says they took part in acts of violence at least two California political rallies. Frances Arnold of Caltech is the first American woman to win the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. She shares it with another American, George Smith, and a British scientist. Their work led to new biofuels and pharmaceuticals. A group of investors has scrapped the planned auction of Toys R Us intellectual property assets and is working now on a plan to try to revive the retail chain. Toys R Us liquidated its stores and filed for bankruptcy earlier this year. Well, she was the woman who inspired a song.
Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue Guerin has died in Lubbock, Texas at 78. It was a hit for Buddy Holly in 1958. Peggy Sue married the drummer for the band, the Crickets, and she wrote a book about it all 10 years ago. CBS's Wendy Gillette takes us to the Maldives in South Asia, a place where natural beauty is being challenged by what's considered a global threat.
Glittering turquoise water laps up on the private island of Baros, one of the oldest luxury resorts in the Maldives, made up of almost 1,200 low-lying islands. Some scientists predict climate change will cause the Indian Ocean here to rise 1.5 feet by 2100, putting 75% of land underwater. The resort's marine biologist, Elisa Feeney.
I hope that the prediction is not right. It's also true that if we don't start to take actions, it's also inevitable to damage the environment big time.
There has been talk in the Maldives about buying land elsewhere, but in this developing country, there are many other priorities. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, the Maldives.
And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Wednesday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.